And welcome everyone back to another episode of the Drunk Friend Podcast. I would say as always we're your hosts, but lately it hasn't been always myself, Trav, and Alex. But Alex,
always in your hearts.
Yes, exactly. Always in your hearts. You don't miss very many of these. It's been a while. What was it like not participating in sweet, sweet Game Boy talk with Seth and myself?
Well, I want to know, like, are you still playing your Pocket all the time? Like, what are you on right now? What's going on?
Yeah.
Need a status update.
Yeah, so I've been crushing it. You know, I came to the latest Polykill, had just a big pocket of beats. I'd just been knocking games
nice.
Out. But I got to admit, the last 3 or 4 days, I've taken a break. Mainly to let my thumbs heal up because I feel like the buttons on the Pocket are a little harsh.
That is my main criticism with that thing. Like, I almost wish they did it like the original Game Boy Advance design where it's on the sides. So it's a little bit more like the Switch if you use the Joy-Cons plugged into that. But
right.
It's a little bit more like modern controller-y at least. But yeah, that's my main thing. But that screen and the fact that it can play like every game is just
it's crazy.
And it can do so much. And the battery lasts forever. It's like I'm like you, or I could just rave about the thing all day.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got a chance to, too. I didn't want to hog all of the Pocket talk, but yeah, dude, I've been having a really good time with it.
I forget if you mentioned this on the show, but what is the game that you've played so far on that you've enjoyed the most?
Oh,
like maybe something that you've played before and
right.
something that you've never played before.
Well, I'll say, and I kind of dogged it a little bit on a separate podcast, but I put a ton of time into Kirby's Pinball Land.
That is a cult classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mainly because, you know, it's hard. And
it is.
But I got a taste. I played it for a little bit and I got a taste of victory. I somehow miraculously with a bit of beginner's luck got all the way to DDD and then failed. And I was like, oh, I could beat this. A couple more tries. I could beat this. Well, that's not true. It was about 6 to 7 more hours of play before I even sniffed DDD again.
Wow. You just got lucky.
I had just got lucky that one time. Not that skill ever helped me in that game. It just seems like constant chance. But, hey, we got through it.
If I were a kid and that happened to me, my first thought would be like, oh, that's what they want you to do. They want you to get real close at first, and then they just like push you down the rest of the time, man.
Yeah.
That's how the man keeps you down, man. The big N.
Kirby had the best AI. It knew exactly how long you've been playing.
Exactly. It's like super advanced artificial intelligence,
yeah,
you know, pool of information it's pulling from, yeah.
Dude, yeah, it's been a good time. But I was gonna say, speaking of games I've been playing, I made a video about Gumshoe, and goddamn thing is, people want to watch it for some reason, and I don't really understand why. Do you ever make a video about a game, whether it be like maybe it's a request, or you know, maybe it was just something you were feeling out of the blue, and you knew it wasn't going to be popular, you knew people didn't really care, but you're like, I gotta do it. That was Gumshoe, and then people were like, oh, dude. Passing it to their friends, I guess. I don't know, but it's crushing it right now for me. I don't know why.
Finally, the video about Gumshoe we've been waiting for. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's happened a few times where a certain video just blows up for some reason. A few years ago, it was Lord of the Rings, although for me, but that's kind of understandable because it's a Lord of the Rings game before the Lord of the Rings movies got made, so people might have been curious about that. I still wasn't expecting it, but there's a few others. I remember making the Spider-Man I wanted to do, like, I was already in the process of making, like, what do you call it? Like, every sports game, every football game video, every baseball game video. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's do every Spider-Man video. Thinking like, okay, some Spider-Man dorks out there will like this. And it turns out it's like, I don't know, like 300,000 views now or something like that.
It's crazy.
Just stupid. What makes me sad about stuff like that is like, I wish I had tried harder on that video. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like, if I knew this was going to get this much attention, I would have like put more work into it than I did. Instead, I just did my usual approach of just like, all right, play the game, take notes, write stuff down, organize it into a script, research, look stuff up, and then put it all together somehow. And instead, it's like some videos I try and really go all out of my way to like make it really good. Like Earthbound is a video like that. Like I took a forever to make that one, but some it, when something gets popular like that, it's like, why does it have to be that one and not something I actually worked on? Is that how you're feeling right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like you want to like, it's almost like a tweet getting yeah. Popular, and then the next tweet is always like, hey, check out my other stuff.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's, I'm glad you get to experience that. I get to share, like, you're the first person I've talked to that's experienced that same thing where it's just like, why is this popular? Yeah. That's stupid.
Who did that? And I watched it again and I was like, I think I've done better. I don't know.
It is a great video. If you haven't watched it, folks, listeners, you should go out of your way to watch it because it's a really funny idea for a game where you shoot a dude, you know, to keep him going.
Yeah.
You just keep shooting him. It's like a Yosemite Sam gimmick where start dancing, you know, you shoot at his feet, and except this guy, instead of dancing, he starts running or jumping.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting concept for a game. A good use of the zapper, but like, why Gumshoe?
Yeah.
You know, we'll never know.
I don't know. I like that a lot of the comments were people being like, yeah, this game, honestly, not that bad. Or like thinking that it would be okay if it were like poured to like mobile phones because it's kind of got a Flappy Bird concept to it, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe it's all Gumshoe fans.
I will say I do remember in the early days of when I started uploading, this would have been 2013, 2014, 10 years ago. So I do remember there being a location that you could look where your video was posted.
Hmm.
And you could actually see, because I remember seeing like my Chrono Trigger video when I made that, seeing that get linked on Racket Boy, on Reddit, and like a couple other places on like message boards and stuff, and being like, oh, that's really cool. And then they totally like bulldozed YouTube Studio and redid it. And it's been redone several times since. But I remember that was a thing. So I'm guessing that's what's going on, is it just got linked somewhere and like, hey, this channel's a good time. Etc. Etc. If I'm allowed to pontificate more,
please.
This is a podcast after all.
Please, it's yeah. We thought about changing the name of it to Drunk Pontificator, but
I think that title's taken somewhere. But yeah, it's one thing that is interesting to observe is when somebody on YouTube that isn't an on camera personality. When they're successful, I consider you to be a successful YouTube channel because you have an audience, you have like a consistent following, mm-hmm. you have people that come back for more of your content. That is successful. No matter, you could have 100 people and that'll be successful.
Right.
That's fine. But, even on my scale though, I have at this moment 280,000 subscribers. If you're not an on-camera talent, YouTube does not give one shit about promoting you at all. You need to play their game. You need to do the thing on the thumbnail. You got to do the gaping mouth. You know, you got to do, or maybe then the gaping mouth isn't working anymore. Now I got to do a grin or something. Who the fuck knows? But it's ridiculous. Like, if you're not a on-camera talent, and the reason I know this is because I recently got invited to be a part of a YouTube compilation video, and I'm gonna come out in front of this and say this is gonna sound like sour grapes that I wasn't included, and I honestly don't care that I wasn't included. I just find it interesting to see the end result of the video that they chose, because I was contacted by YouTube saying, hey, we want you to be part of this retro gaming compilation video that we're putting together to celebrate the hobby or whatever. I don't know. it was very vague what they were looking for. So I was like, what they told me was like, send us a 20-second clip of what you think would work to advertise your channel. I forget how they phrased it, but it was just like, send us a sample of your stuff. Almost like a portfolio piece.
Okay.
Like send us a sample and then we'll see if we want to use it or something. They did not use it. In fact, they did not use anybody that was not an on-camera personality. Oh. Here we go. I'm looking at it now.
Wow.
It's a video called A Video Celebrating the Retro Gaming Community, and it says, what is this project? We're creating a montage video of clips from the retro gaming community, and we'd like to feature you for a few seconds. This is not a new capture, but a clip from a past video of yours. So what they asked me was, like, send 20 seconds max. I think, yeah, 20 seconds max of what... and then some people joked that it should just be 20 seconds of my intro, which is ultimately what I should have done,
yeah,
because this ended up being a waste of time. But no, I had somebody from the YouTube team, I guess, that was they were going to compensate me for this, too, if I was selected, which is weird. Like, and then they ended up not picking me. I forget what I picked, honestly, off the top of my head. But it ended up being nothing but people on camera. You know what I mean? Like, people playing the game, you know, it's not, they have a specific idea of what they want. So why did they include me when I don't ever appear on camera? So they just sent out, what did they send out, a mass email to, like, anybody over a certain subscriber threshold?
Probably.
You know, to,
I would think.
That's what I'm guessing, too. Yeah. So it's like, oh, this guy doesn't do anything. What a waste. So it's just, I wasted all this, like, time and energy coming up with, like, the perfect thing.
Ugh.
To put when after the fact, it's like, oh, it really doesn't matter.
Man.
So that's always, like, kind of a downer when you find that out. You know what I mean? That's why I brought that up.
No, that's totally fair, man. I think it's interesting. It's like, you know, between channels like yours and Summoning Salt, I guess the more I think about it, you know, the no face.
That's a good point. Summoning Salt is another one that he, I don't know what that guy looks like at all. Has he ever appeared on camera?
I don't think so, unless he's shown himself in his like his speedrunning captures, because he is a speedrunner. But
yeah, the whole description of this show is to describe how the YouTube sausage is made. Well, there it is, right there. In the, like, I got to experience it, like, firsthand. Like, oh, we want you to fret over every little thing about this, and you'll be compensated for it, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, we're not going to use this any. We have no reason to use this because you're not on camera anyway. So it's whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Trev? Should I change my approach?
No, man. I think you're fine. I'd say if it, you know, that old adage, if it ain't broke. I don't think anything's broke.
Now, what if I did, like, Arcus, the speedrunner?
Yeah.
And I went on camera. I started wearing a cowboy hat, but I started wearing a macho man cowboy hat. You know what I mean? Little sunglasses. Get a little madness in there. Oh, yeah.
Dude, man, you're getting better at that every day. How often do you practice macho man? Is it every time you get out of the shower?
You know what I do these voices is what? It's to calm me down when I'm driving. It's
really.
It's not unusual to be like, just waiting in line at Dutch Brothers Coffee and just be like, you're going to move up? Yeah. Yeah, let's move up. Get off your phone and move up in line. Yeah.
Love it.
Or like, just like, a little bit crazy. Haven't had your coffee yet. Oh, yeah. It's just, you got to stay sane somehow.
Man, it never makes me giggle every time.
By the way, what do you think of my impression of you? Do you think it's accurate?
Oh, it was good. It was good. Because at first I was like, how'd they get my voice in here? But no, it was,
you're right.
I laughed.
I think Captain complimented me about how I said Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't even know I said it like that. And
Jesus.
Then I spent a week noticing how I do exactly say it just like that. So. Jesus. I didn't know.
Jesus.
Well, good stuff, man.
The thing is, though, is you got to exaggerate a little. That's what Dana Carvey taught me over the years. But you see, you can't just do Jesus. You got to do Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Got to bring it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want to get to an email? Let's get to an email. We have one. We have our first email.
Excuse me.
While Alex is dying. Are you dead?
Yeah, I took a wrong pipe there. Wrong pipe situation.
Whew. Man.
We have an email from Blake. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, Blake, a recent Discord addee. Thank you, Blake, for hopping on. Would you rather is the title of the email from Blake. Hi, Trav and Alex. Happy National White Wine Day. Wow. I have to look that one up. No idea when National White Wine Day was, but a happy one to you too as well, Mr. Mountain.
What do you mean? It's today.
Is it today?
It's right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Happy one to... Sorry, I didn't say that earlier, Alex. Happy White Wine Day.
Yeah. Happy to you too. We should have started with that, really.
That's my bad. He says, thank you for the amazing podcast. You guys both rule. Recently, my longtime partner and I have been playing some SNES games together, especially Super Mario World. One issue... She cannot for the life of her grasp the concept of a run jump, i.e. holding the run button and simultaneously pressing jump. She has some gaming experience as a kid, and I've tried explaining the concept to her, but I often forget my 30-plus years of avid video gaming puts me at an unfair advantage. Despite this handicap, she continues to play without this mechanic, made it all the way to the third world, completely insane, which leads me to my question. Have you ever played a game without fully taking advantage of a certain mechanic, be it on purpose or accidentally? I know many challenge runners limit certain things, like one death equals a reset or no power-ups, etc. But I'm curious to see if either of you have ever done this. I think Alex mentioned playing Mega Man X in a different order to challenge himself more, not getting the dash early on, it's in parentheses. Second, completely unrelated question. What do you guys think is the most 90s ass wrestling move? I always think of the Stone Cold Stunner and mostly all the great wrestlers who sold the hell out of it. Keep up the great work. Thanks again for all the amazing content and podcast. Cheers, Blake Mountain. And cheers to you as well, Blake. Good email here. I like this one. This is a good question. Alex, what about that Mega Man X? You want to recount that one?
Well, Mega Man X, what you do is you... treat it like you know nothing about the game, or at least that's how I approach games like that, where it's just I've played Mega Man X I don't know how many times, at least 20 all the way through, and you start just kind of inventing ways to make it more interesting for yourself, because I love like the game engine and you know everything about it, but I want to make it interesting again. So I decided to come up with a way to do it kind of backwards, where you don't get the dash until you in other words, you finish Chill Penguin stage last, because the dash is comes really in handy, especially in boss fights. So that's always a really fun one.
Right.
But there's also, like, picking a bad team on purpose. Like, I know you've done that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get so sick of playing, like, NCAA 2K14, and you start the season as, like, Western Illinois.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Some, like, garbage program, and just to see if you could make them a national title contender. That's, like, the whole... I think that's what people miss about sports games. Like, oh, it's sports, whatever. It's like, no, you need to pick a really terrible team and make them good.
Yeah.
That's what's fun about sports games. I don't think people get that sometimes.
Nah, people just don't like sports, period. So they don't even consider the games.
Well, it's their loss.
Yeah, I agree. But... yeah, I do. That is exactly how I play those games. You know, and for years, when I had an NCAA football game, I was like, well, I can't pick Virginia Tech because they're too good. They're usually a top 25 team. But I'd say if a game had existed for the last 4 or 5 years, they would have been my team. Yeah. I could bring from one star all the way up. It would have been great. I could really finally be my Hokies and have fun with a video game. Maybe next year when the new one drops, because I know... I know old VT will be ranked like a 38 out of 100, and I'll take him to the goddamn top. You watch.
38 out of 100?
Probably. Huh? I mean, I'm talking like on a scale of like 100 is like the best, you know, like on the video games, like they rate you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you meant like AP ranking.
Oh,
I was like
no.
38th.
No.
I was like, I don't think they're going to be that good.
I don't think we're not even 38 in fucking FCS. I don't. Think
and on the East Coast,
yeah, not even in our state. There's teams
in your state, high school teams.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. That's always rough, but
it is. But I do. I have another example, and I think I mentioned it before here. But an example of me making a game way harder than it needed to be was Skyrim, and I did it in two different ways. The first one,
I remember.
I didn't know you could fast travel, because I, you know, and that's on me. I hadn't played any Bethesda games, and I didn't have any friends that had played any either. So when I figured that out, I was like, well, all right, shit.
Whoa.
Yeah. Could have been using that.
It's like someone like discovering smartphones for the first time. Like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
It actually, I'd done it without fast traveling for so long that using fast travel felt dirty to me. It felt like I was cheating.
Damn.
It was wild.
That's nice, though. It's kind of a nice feeling, though, isn't it?
A little bit. I
like it because, yeah, I don't know how to answer the first part of his question because it's happened so many times to me where it's just like, oh, you can do that? Like, really? Like, there's a million things like that. Like, and it can be like the most minor, tiny little things ever. And that's kind of what I obsess over a little bit. Like, I remember talking to his Twitter thing. He's the guy who does all the Star Fox ROM hacks, Kondo Kono or something like that. I'm sorry, I can't remember it, but I remember asking him the most random question because it just popped into my head when playing Star Fox one time where I was like, okay, so if each wing, like, okay, so what happens in Star Fox is that you can take wing damage if a certain side of your ship just runs into too many things or takes too much damage or whatever. But the thing is like it heals when you get a weapon power up. It heals the wing, and instead of giving you a weapon power up, it heals the wing. So my question was, if you already have max weapon power ups, there's no more to get. Like, should you still go get those and heal your wings? Like, do your wings have a life meter, in other words, that you just can't see? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, I do follow.
So, like, and he was like, yeah, that's exactly what happens. Like, you should always look for those because it will reset your wing damage, in other words. So I find stuff like that fascinating, like tiny little details like that in games like Star Fox that are just fascinating to me. Like, they really thought all the way through to put that stuff in there. Maybe it was like a default section of the programming or something, but It stuck with me, but that's just a really small version of something like that that I had no idea existed, but I was very interested to learn about. I never thought to think of it before I turned 40. So that's 40, you know, however many years of my life playing Star Fox before that.
Right.
And now I grab every power up I can find. I used to just ignore them.
That's crazy.
Because it's like, oh, I'm already maxed out. So
yeah, I don't need to
collect these. So it changed how I played the game.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, my other one with Skyrim was that I played pretty much all of the game suffering from vampirism, and I couldn't fast travel in the daylight because I would die as soon as the game loaded. I had to walk around at night.
Oh, the funniest version of this is my friend from high school did not know how to save in Chrono Trigger.
Oh my! Yeah, you told me that. Holy shit!
Yeah, they did not know. They thought they had to complete this huge ass game, 40-hour playthrough in one sitting because they didn't understand the save points.
Oh.
Just awful.
You know, there's a thing about games. This is not really answering the question, but there was like a 5-year span where we were between, you know, most games having like an autosave function and others not. To the point that I'm still pretty paranoid because I play games spanning tons of systems, and you know, there's some have the features like DS and 3DS where you can just shut it and it will keep it active. You know, there's sleep modes on some of them. Some of them don't, and sometimes I forget which one's got what. So I'll get to like a part in the game where I'm like, oh, I need to Google how the fuck I save this because I'm not sure. I am not sure.
That's funny.
I always assume that somebody else knows how to do it.
Yeah, that I'm still not used to most modern renovations like that, you know, auto saving and stuff like that. Let me ask you this. Are you the type of person when you're playing a game and there's three save states, are you using all three save states or are you just using one?
Man, that's a good point. That depends. I mean, if the game, yeah, if it lets me use multiple, I guess that's what you were implying, but
yeah.
Yeah, I will use, like, I try to use three no matter what. Like, I kind of cycle through three. So I guess I was answering, like, even if they give me infinite slots, like a modern RPG, I still like to rotate three.
Well, yeah, it's, I get what you're saying, but even going back to like older games, mm-hmm. to Link to the Past and stuff like that, I'm still using all threes.
Oh.
If it's my game, I'm using all three slots so I can start at different points and to make sure I don't like accidentally save when I don't want to and stuff like that.
I've never done it for an old game. And a lot of I'll tell you why. I am weirdly sentimental with a lot of really old saves, even if they're not mine. Because I have a few carts where it's like, you know, Brett has, he's level 88 in this game, and then he moved on with his life and gave you the game. I'm like, Brett, I will maintain your legacy. You did a great job, apparently. I'm only level 1.
No, 100% on that. If you buy a game used, then for sure. I understand completely the nobility of keeping that person's save. There honestly kind of is. It is really cool to keep their save on there. Hell, I still have my Secret of Mana cartridge that has my brother's original save on there. And if something happens to that, I'm going to be freaking heartbroken.
Dude,
that's... Yeah, I'm protecting that with like my life, but
You know what's crazy? It turned out to be nothing, but it was a crazy coincidence. But I had it was one of the Star Tropics games for NES, and I was playing through them for a video, and I loaded up one of the carts that I had, and the save files on there were Michelle and Betsy, which just so happened to be Petey's name and her sister's name, right? So I immediately, I was like, "Oh shit, Michelle, did you own this game growing up?" And she was like, "I don't remember it." And she asked her brother, or I'm sorry, asked her dad and her sister. And I guess they were like, "Nah, that wouldn't have been one that we would have had or played." And they were pretty advanced in the game. But like, what are the fucking chances? I mean, it's not like Michelle and Betsy are the rarest names, but any two names paired together on an obscure cartridge on an NES game, like and those two were gamers. It just felt like it would work, but it wasn't them.
No, that is a really strange coincidence. And what was the name that you had carved into your...
Oh, Janice.
Janice, yes. Never forget Janice.
Yeah, I got to track her down.
That's the best
one. Yeah, I tried to find that cartridge after we recorded that, but I was so fucking high standing in front of my games, I couldn't remember which ones I'd already looked at. And then I forgot that shit, I think it might have actually been on the front instead of the back. And so then I had to go through and look at them all the other direction, and I didn't find it, but it's in there, man. I wasn't there. Yeah. But anyway, Blake goes on with that second question to ask, what's the most 90s ass wrestling move?
What's your pick? Like, if you had to pick, like, when you think 90s ass wrestling, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
Yeah, no lie. The first thing I think of is the Heat Seeker from the Harlem Heat. Because I think of the Harlem Heat as the most 90s tag team.
Yeah. Dude, freaking their theme song was absolute. Like, I was excited to see them on TV because got to listen to that theme song. Plus, Booker T, you knew Booker T was going to be like a superstar someday. You just knew
he had it.
Like, Stevie Ray, you're cool, but you're good, you know, but Booker T, superstar.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody knew that, but yeah, they were one of the few things in my mind that WCW had over WWF pre-NWO days. Like, I still kind of rolled my eyes at WCW as a snotty teenager back then. but they had Harlem Heat, and I loved Harlem Heat because they were like an old school like 80s tag team where they would do like those double team moves. They would like come up with cool stuff. But yeah,
man, it's crazy.
Yeah, like the Heat Missile, like that was
the Heat Seeker. Hell yeah,
the Heat Seeker. Yeah, that is a great answer. I always think at the stunner is a great answer because, Mr. Blake Mountain says, it's a great move that allows people to sell for it in different ways. Like the most famous, I think, is probably Scott Hall when he bounces up and then he takes another one and that knocks him out. He bounces right back into a second one. The Rock is always like rolling around on the canvas when he takes one. Mm-hmm. Shane McMahon is spitting beer when he takes one. Like it's the perfect move to sell to. Mm-hmm. But my pick is going to be the Nasty Boys, Knobs and Sags. You remember them, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Another good WCW tag team.
WCW tag team. They had a stint in the WWF with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, as their manager. And they did a move called the Pit Stop. And if you don't know what this is, just go to YouTube and search Nasty Boys Pit Stop.
That's the weirdest thing. You can only look that up on YouTube. If you venture anywhere else on the internet, type that in, you're in trouble.
Yeah, pretty much. But at the same time, this is why YouTube exists, right? To see these ridiculous 90s ass wrestling moves. Mm-hmm. And what it is you shove your opponent's face into your partner's armpit.
Yeah. I remember this.
My dad used to laugh he actually told me, he said to me, like, the next time the Nasty Boys are on TV, I want you to come tell me so I can come look. I want to see him do the Pit Stop, because he thought it was so funny.
Man, I tell you, there is a YouTube channel called Pit Stop Fan. Has 400 subs. They've chronicled every pit stop. They have them numbered.
Yes! Yes! That's what I'm talking about. That's perfect.
Dude, we got to get them on the show.
That's why YouTube exists. You're looking at the seedy underbelly of the internet. I'm looking at the positive thing.
Holy
shit. The Pit Stop channel on YouTube.
Dude, they uploaded these 12 years ago. That's insane. I was going to say we should get them on the show, but they're probably dead.
Get him on the show. What are we gonna ask?
What's your favorite pit stop?
Well, that's about it.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks.
Love your work. Hang in there.
Love your work. Jeez. All right. I guess I got this next email here. That's Austin from Austin. Stone Cold. He's got, hey guys. Hey, Trav and Alex, question for the podcast. Recently, a new fan translation for the SNES came out, Light Fantasy. In the patch notes, it says the game was translated with the ChatGPT, which made me think, would you guys be okay if most of the untranslated NES and SNES games received a ChatGPT-type translation, or would you be worried the translation quality would be more Breath of Fire 2? Breath of Fire 2 is not that bad. And Sea of Stars than the quality translation of Aeon Genesis and Dynamic Designs. I'm finishing a couple games right now, and then I really want to try this translation out to see how it is. Thanks, guys, and have a great day. Austin.
Oh,
well, I already have my answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think ChatGPT will do well for the NES. Just do all of them, because the NES dialogue and, you know, outside of, like, you know, anything that's a label for a menu. But dialogue-wise, the NES is already kind of, like, the stories are kind of written like ChatGPT already did that in English.
Yeah.
They use very minimal words. They're trying to save tons of memory. So I think ChatGPT could do the whole NES library probably today.
I please do. I hope it does.
Yeah.
For the SNES, I would say get the mediocre games out of the way, so people can spend more times on the games that need more detailed translations. And a good example of that is a game like Chaos Seed, which is a really complicated, extensive game that's really good, but very, however you say the word, niche?
Mm-hmm.
Niche?
Niche.
I don't know.
I heard a guy at work say niche today, and I realized that's the one I don't like.
Niche? Okay. You don't like some people. Honest to God, it's the most 50-50 word in the English language.
It might have been the way he said it, but.
Niche?
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, it's just, if you can get the mediocre games out of the way, then that frees up time for these talented folks to dedicate their time to more, to better stuff. Then yeah, like Light Fantasy, the example he cites, is a perfect example of that. Another game would be GD Lean.
Hmm.
There's plenty of just like totally mediocre games out there that don't really need the elbow grease, you know, applied to them to get these done. So it's give those games the time they deserve. If they deserve more, then that's what they get. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, get the clutter out of the way. That's right. Basically how I see those games, is just clutter.
Hey there. Are you out of goosebumps? Do you wish you had more goosebumps? Then come on down to We Got Goosebumps, where Trav and Dylan read to you from every goosebumps. We got mummies.
Oh, no.
We got werewolves. We got dummies. They move on their own. You don't even need to worry about putting your hand up. Come on down to We Got Goosebumps, the podcast where we got goosebumps, and we'll give them to you.
We have another email from Robert Auguste de Meyer.
That's your favorite.
Oh, I love him. I love him so much. I love that he also has gone all out in spelling Auguste all day long. Three O's.
He's a nice guy.
He really is. Title of this email is Arguments.
All right.
It says, Dear lovely chaps, on a recent pod you asked if there were folks who wanted heated arguments about 30-year-old games, and indeed, I do. Political discourse has become so toxic in recent years, it's refreshing and fun to get argumentative about things close to our hearts that, in the end, don't really matter. Also, I like to believe that blast processing was our generation's first experience with fake news, and perhaps Sega fanboys can realize how contemporary media uses similar tactics to currently hoodwink them.
That's good.
Bah, weep, grana, weep, nini bong, Robert Auguste de Meyer. P.S. If you happen to know someone who believes the Sega Genesis was better than the Super Nintendo, I'd love to have a debate on your podcast. One can dream! Well, we could always get Console Wars Dan back on. I'm sure he'd have a little something to say.
I wanted you to read this email just for the bah, weep, grana, weep, ninny bong.
I know.
Not going to lie.
I feel like
I just freaking crushed it. Macho Man Randy Savage elbow smashed it. That was great.
So not really so much a question here as just a proclamation that he loves a fun debate about video games.
Well, I think that means we should argue, though.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Sure.
What are we doing here? What if I say your favorite game sucks?
Chances are it does.
Now you can't just roll over right away. What are you doing?
I'm a very logical, reasonable man. I don't.
No, stop being so pragmatic and sensible. You need to just like be defensive and needlessly whiny and weepy about Legend of Zelda or RBI Baseball or something. Ah,
Legend of Zelda is perfect. It's perfect game. It's first open world game. You can go to any.
All right.
It's not maybe not the first. I mean, it's first. I'm gonna say it's the first because I'm being argumentative. It's the first open world game.
No, pretend you're Stephen A. Smith.
Just be like, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something right now. Legend of Zelda, it is the greatest game of all time, and let me tell you why. I'm close, dear personal friends. I've known him for a very, 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 very long time. Shigeru Miyamoto. Known him for a very, very, very long time. He's a close, dear personal friend of mine. I did not know I had a Stephen A. Smith impression.
Did you get stuck in traffic recently and whip him out?
I don't know. I guess I did, yeah.
That's incredible.
Very, 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 very. All you got to do for Stephen A. is just talk low and say somebody's a very close friend of yours. That's basically it. Just like kind of Joe Biden, all you say is, my dad,
folks,
and Jobs.
Good stuff, man. You got a future. You need to take this on the road. You can't just trap it in this podcast. You got to.
No, I don't like being on the road. The road hates me. I don't want to go on the road and hold my nose for a Harry Carey impression. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather have a beach-aged Budweiser at home. Sammy Sosa that plays The way back. It is. That was him calling a home run.
Like, and then he unplugged the microphone because he got so excited, is what I thought happened.
Yeah.
Good old Harrison Carrison. Oh, man.
Full name.
full his full Christian name and surname. But yeah, I guess I'm just not that argumentative about anything because I just, man,
I know.
When it comes to games, I'm just so open minded. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. If it's out of 10 for you, it's probably an 8 out of 10 for me.
That's the thing, is like, why do I need to hate Sega to like Super Nintendo? That's not the case. I don't care. Yeah. Like, why do I need to hate something to like something? That's not how that works.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's child stuff to me.
It's
but.
True. But I mean, you know, an entertaining debate's one thing, but sniveling is a completely different thing. But yeah, I grew up only with the Sega Genesis, so for a period of my life, I probably did think the Sega Genesis was way cooler than the Super Nintendo I'd never played.
Oh, get out of here with that. That's a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
What games did you even have? Kid Chameleon? Oh,
no,
you're
didn't
so
have
cool
that.
With your sunglasses. Oh, so cool.
I had
yeah.
a paltry stack of three games. I had NBA Jam, Sonic 2, and, God, what was the other one? Fuck. I just had it in my head. Oh, I think
Green
it was
Dog?
A... Well, it was because, yeah, so we ended up, we bought my Sega Genesis secondhand, so it actually came with a Barney Speaks or something like that. Some Barney game. I don't even know. I knew I did play it, though, because I was like, fuck, I'll try it.
Travis, I'm not going to lie, that's the weakest lineup of games I've ever heard in my life. That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it's some call it child abuse, even. I was like, I don't want the Barney hide and seek game.
My goodness.
But I survived.
Somehow.
Yeah.
We've also got 2019 things that might be interesting. In other words, things from literally 4 years ago.
That's
Are you interested in that?
Yeah, that's crazy. College admission scandal. Is that USC? Was that thing?
Yeah, that was all that stuff, and a bunch of celebrities went to jail. That
yeah.
was funny.
Yeah.
Becky from Full House.
It's oh, like, they got
oh,
her
she's
ass.
In the news.
I knew got, she was trouble from the start.
Finally.
Yep. And then Astros cheated. Bastards.
Yeah, that was weird because nothing like that in baseball had happened before to that extent in terms of the use of technology. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they went back to 2017 and saw that they used it in the playoffs and... In
yeah.
the World Series and stuff, and it's like baseball changed after that. So, of course, I got to mention that.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you know, it wasn't so long ago for games, but I have to remind myself that 2019 is kind of like the second 1999, in that it was a lot of naivete before everything just changed because of COVID. So
I guess so. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. But some good. I mean, that had nothing to do with the games talk. I just was reminded of that. But
no, that is an excellent way of putting it, because when I think back on 2019, it's like you really can't help but think like we had no idea, did we?
Yeah. We were out there playing things like Luigi's Mansion 3 and Gears of War 5 and Outer Wilds and Control, Resident Evil 2.
And then Animal Crossing took over everything.
Yeah. And that was also Outer Worlds, Outer Wilds. Those two games came out, and to this day, I have no idea which one's which. And Death Stranding.
Damn. I'm not sure if I spent any meaningful time with any of those games, to be honest with you.
What about Untitled Goose Game? Did you goose it?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, but nice. Not enough to... I goosed it a little bit, but not enough to like fully goose it, you know?
Yeah.
I played it enough to like get the idea, and I laughed my ass off, and that was basically it.
What about Disco Elysium? That's a big name.
That's one I feel... one of these days, me and you got to sit down and make a list of like games where we feel guiltiest about not playing yet, because yeah. that's one. Because I know I'm going to love that game, and I have not... it's one of those where it's like I've played like 20 minutes of it, or I've watched 20 minutes of it. I can't remember which, but that's one I need to play. Like, there's just not enough time.
Yeah.
But what it that might be number one on my list, actually, Is there one for you that like sticks out as like one that needs to be played?
Yeah, tons. In fact, I think I have a whole podcast about it, essentially. But
all right, I get it.
No, but
I'm just kidding.
there are so fucking many. But I'm gonna say Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're going way back.
Yeah. I mean, so you know, the further each year it compresses into a more of a hard diamond of guilt.
You don't strike me as like a big RPG guy, though.
I'll play a few a year. That's about all I have time for.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is if you're only going to play a few a year, you got to play the Final Fantasy III,
yeah,
aka 6. So what the hell's your problem?
Right? One of these days. Right now I'm in Breath of Fire 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How far are you in that?
Oh, 7 hours-ish. Not very far at all. Second town, second city, maybe.
Okay, right on. No, that's a really good one because it gets a lot more expansive. Not in a particularly graceful way, but in a Super Nintendo-y way.
Mm, yeah.
And it's fun. I think you'll like that one because you're a big Dark Cloud guy.
Heck yeah, dude.
So yeah, so you'll like how that game unfolds.
Good.
For sure.
Yeah. It's got a good sense of humor about it. Speaking of a good sense of humor, you and I thought it might be a good idea to round out the show by hitting on a few of the recent entertaining or enlightening or interesting YouTube comments that we've received on our channels.
I mean, yeah, I just thought it was easy content, to be honest with you, because I get some funny comments and I get some useful comments.
Yeah, yeah.
On my channel, and they come from all directions at all hours of the day, and I think it's interesting to like just check in. I don't know how to put it. It's almost like a biome that you just look at once in a while. That sounds demeaning, though. I don't want to compare people to like being in a biome. That sounds stupid and that bad, but that's what it feels like. Let me give you the listeners, you, our kind listeners, an example of what I'm talking about. I got a comment on a video for Gunstar Heroes. I reviewed Gunstar Heroes a million years ago. This would have been like 2015.
Jeez.
And I got a comment on this a couple weeks ago saying, "My childhood best friend and I used to play this so much. We love this game. Christian, wherever you are, hope all is well with you and your family."
Hmm.
So this guy either thinks my name is Christian or he thinks I am a Christian, which I think is kind of funny.
Or his childhood best friend's name is Christian.
Or his childhood best friend. I don't know what to make of this comment. That's the thing. It's like you wish you could respond to everyone, but like sometimes you get hung up on these things where it's just like...
I do like the idea that he could be saying like, "Wherever you are, man, I just hope you're following Jesus. You know, I just..." Otherwise, what was our childhood friendship even about?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you get so sucked into this vortex of like every single comment saying something about you personally. And then suddenly this person says, "My childhood best friend and I used to play this so much," and then he addresses them in this comment. And I'm just confused. Like, my name's not Christian. I'm not Christian. What's going on? And I'm just like frazzled. So it's part of the strangeness of having a YouTube channel where you've got people from all over like saying things,
man,
everywhere.
I hope Christian scrolls through this list of comments and is like, "Oh fuck, is that H Monk? Oh, that's my boy. We used to play this game so much. He said that exact thing."
See, I guess that's the YouTube equivalent of like you preserving a save state,
yeah,
on somebody's NES cartridge, you know? Like, "Oh man, I got your back, Balls 3D or whatever your name is on Legend of Zelda. I got your back. I got your save state right here. Got it right here." Yeah, wouldn't that be an amazing like movie, or at least like a short story where like some guy ends up meeting the person whose save state is on their video game cartridge and they want it back and it becomes like a horror story or something like that.
That would be awesome. It's like could
good
be like
premise.
A, like an 80s movie, like they come out of the Nintendo tape, you know what I mean?
Climb out of the TV like The Ring.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I got another one here, though, that says, since you're into GBA stuff right now, I want to give Magical Vacation a recommendation. It's a cute little RPG only released in Japan, but it has an English patch for it. I played it earlier this year, and it was a pretty good time. This person just, like, came across my Legend of Zelda Minish Cap review and just, like, recommended me a game. I just want to throw this out there as, like, a reminder that not all YouTube comments are inherently evil. Like, this is a really nice recommendation because this game does look really nice and I do plan on checking it out. I've never heard of it before, so I'm really thankful for this comment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is for, is like to laugh at people and to also give credit to people, because thank you for interacting. It's really nice of you to give that rec, because it looks like a nice game.
No, I'm not. Yeah, it was pretty good. I got some weird ones too. I didn't know what flavor to choose, but there are a few here that just generally cracked me up. Like I did a video on Silent Service, which is a submarine game, kind of Sid Meier like. In fact, I think, or Sid Meier. I always say Sid Meier. How I read it before I knew what his name actually was.
Sid is sitting in front of the mirror.
Yes, similar. But Sid Meier, so Silent Service submarine game, and then Robert Daniels swings by. Robert Daniels, 9023, swings by and says, "This game was one of the reasons I joined the Navy," and I just thought that was so profound that this NES game, Silent Service, inspired someone to join the Navy. I just thought that was incredible.
That's pretty crazy, old Bobby Daniels.
Yeah, I hope he got a chance to work in a submarine. And I hope that dream came true.
That would be really cool to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome to hear stuff like that, like legit.
Mm-hmm. Then I did Captain America video before Gumshoe. So a couple weeks back, Captain America and the Avengers on the NES. And Julio Neto responds here. "Don't know about the other versions, but the SNES port was a hell shit." I'd never heard anyone say hell shit before, and it made me laugh.
Well, it's a shit from hell.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
I mean, are you familiar with the Super Nintendo port of this game?
Well, it's pretty bad.
I guess it's actually a port of the arcade version, as this game, the NES game, is unique.
It is one of the most half-assed, like, Kmart-looking games you've ever seen. Like, that's the best way I can put it. It's a Kmart game. Like, it's just bad. Like, it's just you know, when you buy G.I. Joe figures, you expect them to be from, like, Hasbro and to be, like, have all the joints and stuff like that. This is like if you bought games from, like, Dollar Tree and it's just, like, all plastic and it's looks like crap and the eyes look in different directions and stuff. Like, it's just a bad port.
Right on. All right. Well, back to good games. Wrath of the Black Manta was a good game that I did a video on there a while back. And Chad Bailey is awesome, who is a very recent viewer and watcher of all things Polymedia. Chad says, "Holy shit, I did not expect a MTV VJ Jesse Camp reference. Did you know it was all an act? He wasn't a street kid. He actually was from a well-off family and even went to a private school in Connecticut. That is more info than anyone should ever need on Jesse Camp." And I loved the fun facts, and then I also loved the regret at the end of, like, "Oh, I've outed myself as a Jesse Camp fanatic. My bad."
I have not heard the name Jesse Camp in...
Yeah, wasn't that wild?
When was that? 20 years ago?
Oh, easily in the mid-90s. Easily.
It's probably the last time I actually paid attention to MTV. Was Jesse Camp.
Wow.
That whole, like, reality show. When was that? Like, early... that was, like, 2002, I think?
No, it was it was in the 90s, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was much later for some reason. Wow, now I feel even older. That's wonderful. But, yeah, that was the last kind of, like, the send off for me for MTV was Jesse Camp.
Yeah, 1998. Yeah, is when he was on there.
He was actually that's unbelievable. Well, it's totally believable because it's MTV, but that's pretty funny.
So after Chad, then there's another. I got another one here from about a month ago on my Bill and Ted's Excellent Video Game Adventure video. Video way better than the game, I have to admit. But Adam Adkins pops over, says, I remember I found this randomly at a grocery store of all places. I bought it, brought it home, and was immediately bummed out. I should have just gotten some Golden Grahams instead. Amen to that, Adam.
That's right. What do you think? What if you had like a top three cereals? What are you rolling with?
Oh shit! I'm just gonna get dunked on for all of my cereal preferences, but I do enjoy some Frosted Mini Wheats. I really do. I gotta say, I like them.
I can see why you'd say that. Yeah.
Hey, what does that mean?
You'd get dunked on for that. Yeah. No, you're allowed to like what you like, but yeah, I can see why you get dunked on.
Yeah. Also, damn, if I'm just not a huge fan of Raisin Bran, just give me a classic two scoops,
dude. Have you had crunchy Raisin Bran?
Yeah, dude.
It's the greatest.
Are you on my side with Raisin Bran? Because that's usually the one that got me kicked like off teams in high school.
100% Raisin Bran. Crunchy Raisin Bran is good.
Hell yeah, brother.
I'll go to bat for that.
Hell yeah, brother. Love that.
Hell yes. I love raisins. I'm not afraid to say it. I love raisins.
Yeah, me too. Hey, amen. Shout it. This feels
amen.
Good.
Amen. I put them on my oatmeal. I put them on my cereal. Mm. But yeah, the crunchy Raisin Bran with hell yes.
And then
what's your number three?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, everybody goes with that.
Yeah, well, that's good. What are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? While we're at it, what are yours?
I gotta go peanut butter Captain Crunch.
Smart.
As my number one, even though that like I can actually feel it rotting my teeth.
Yeah, my mouth bleeds after I eat Captain Crunch.
Oh, 100%. You get that stinging in the top of your mouth.
Yeah,
it's just it's almost like,
and that's as an adult. As kids, we just literally drooled blood after we ate that.
You're not wrong. You would go slobbering to the orthodontist if you had braces like I did.
So good though.
It's so good. It's so worth it. What other ones? See, I wasn't crazy about, even when I was like as young as I can remember, seeing commercials for stuff like Cookie Crisp.
Yeah.
And I was being like, I can't eat cookies for breakfast. That's ridiculous. Like, I don't know if you're just born with that or what, but I saw Cookie Crisp and I was just like, immediately just like, no. Like, cookies are something different. Like, they're not cereal. Like, that is like one of my I was like 5 years old when I had that thought, I swear to God, but it just didn't make sense to me. Like, I need nutrition, not freaking nonstop sugar and garbage into my system.
I gotta say, but though, they're so fucking good. but I did have the same thought. I was like, oh, this is never, mom's never letting this in the house. But
that's the thing. That was the biggest thing, was like, yeah. Okay, my parents will hate this, so that means I'm gonna want it.
Yeah, I think my first paycheck ever, I got like, I picked up a rated R movie, the Offspring Smash CD, because I was finally old enough to buy it, and I got some Cookie Crisp cereal.
Man.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome. You know, that would be a great, you love podcast ideas. That would be a great podcast idea. What did you spend your first paycheck on?
We should just start asking all of our guests that. Just have a.
That's a great question, because I'll tell you what I spent mine on.
Yeah.
A guitar, Jackson PS4. Is the guitar I bought.
Wow.
It has a floating bridge with a Floyd Rose tuning system. Floyd Rose bridge, I guess is what it's called. Floating bridge. It's got the little tuning knobs on it. And it was really fancy. It had a five-way switch. A really nice rosewood fretboard. I love 24 frets. That's all I need. You couldn't not play it like Kirk Hammett when you saw it.
Right.
That's all I wanted, was just to play like Kirk Hammett from Metallica.
Hell,
so
yeah.
Or Slash. I would have taken Slash,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course.
But Slash played a big, clunky Les Paul, which weighed 1,000 pounds and looked like looked all stupid, so I didn't want that. But yeah.
But his bare chest with cigarette burns in it, that made it look less stupid.
And the top hat and the I love the visual of the cigarette burning his chest hair. Yeah. That's awesome. Never thought of that.
I think there is like a footage of him like dropping an ember like on his chest while he's playing a solo, and he does not flinch. He's dedicated to the bit.
Of course not. He's Slash.
It's the most badass thing I've ever seen a grown man do. Granted, I would say the amount of drugs in him also numbed the sensation of being on fire. But,
of course.
All right. We got a couple more here. Now, these are where it's going to get a little fun, I think. So I did a video on Yo-Kai Club on Famicom. This is last Halloween. That's kind of a spooky game. And this comic kills me because I feel like somebody was switching back and forth between Pornhub and YouTube. And they sent me a benign comment, but somehow made it so horny. And so this is from UKKJPL on this Yo-Kai Club on Famicom video. No punctuation to speak of. I'll hammer this baby with save states looks good and hard.
Yeah, buddy. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yo-Kai Club on Famicom.
Yeah, man. It was also like he also could have typed it like he was just out the door. Like he was on his way to get it. You know, like he was so jazzed for this game. He's like, oh, I got to let him know. I got to let this guy know.
For some reason, I picture a guy like just like in the middle of his like work day, just like, oh, I got to put my whole day on hold. I got to go get this game right now. And he like runs over to Pink Gorilla in Seattle and just like buys it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which is ironic because he can't use save states on the hardware. But either way, he was on his way.
Video games are great, aren't they? They bring us joy. They make us feel emotions. They remind us of our humanity. And in those ways, they change lives. I'm Caleb J. Ross, co-host of the Tales of the Lesser Medium podcast and author of the new book, Suddenly I Was a Shark, My Time with What Remains of Edith Finch. Suddenly I Was a Shark, My Time with What Remains of Edith Finch is an in-depth examination of my favorite video game of all time, What Remains of Edith Finch. It's got some developer interviews, personal anecdotes, and a few structurally intentional dabs of humor goo to stick it all together. Right now, you can buy my book, my seventh book, by the way, which is crazy to think about, but I think my best book, Suddenly I Was a Shark, My Time with What Remains of Edith Finch, at Amazon.com for a print version, or Kobo, Barnes & Noble, or Amazon for ebook versions. And if you, like me, love signed books, you can even buy a signed copy of Suddenly I Was a Shark, My Time with What Remains of Edith Finch by going to CalebJRoss.com/signed. That's my website, CalebJRoss.com/signed. Signed as in signed book. It makes sense. You get it. Now, back to the show.
And then this last one here. So I did a video about Monster Truck games on the NES. You know, Bigfoot and Monster Truck Rally there was a couple months back. And My good pal Maverick Lone Shark. Now this is a good friend of mine. He has commented on my videos for forever. Always very thoughtful, very funny, and has even like helped me with some pronunciations on occasion. So shout out to Maverick Lone Shark. I'm not even sure if they're a podcast listener, but they're definitely an S friend watcher.
It's a great name.
Yeah, it really is.
Unless he's a Dallas Mavericks fan, then that's and a San Jose Sharks fan. that's unfortunate.
They could be into hockey. I'm not sure, but
could be a double whammy. That could be bad. But anyway,
yeah. Well, he calls me out because, and I agree, man. I didn't do a good job of really bringing out the monster truck voice guy in that video. I wanted to do better. I just didn't get the time.
I thought you did good.
I did okay. But even I was like, I could have really gone over the top with this. But Maverick Lone Shark says, man, you got to say it with more excitement, like you are a WWF announcer or something. And then in all caps, all the way down the page, it's like, race fans, hot rodders, wheels screaming, metal crunching, window shattering, monster truck lovers. Are you ready for in-your-face, button-mashing, controller-breaking, parts-upgrading, monster truck action? This Sunday through Saturday, YouTube, the Polymedia Network, and the Nintendo Entertainment System present the car crashing, mud slinging down and dirty in the bog, Bigfoot Monster Truck Rally Review. That's right. Bigfoot. 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 Watch as he... That actually might have been an echo, like, Bigfoot, Bigfoot, Bigfoot. I'm not sure. I started a chant, though. Anyway, Not quite halfway. All right.
It's a one-man chant on a two-man podcast.
That's just the name of my new podcast, actually. All right. He says, watch as he squares off against up-and-coming challengers, the Growler and the Charger, in an unforgettable showdown of man and machine versus man. Man and machine versus machine and machine tag teams. Come see Nest Friend grind his controller's D-pad down as he attempts the tractor pull, the mud bog, hill climb, drag race, and car crusher action stages. Kid seats are absolutely free. Plus,
that's an echo right there, for sure.
Plus, every YouTube viewer will be treated to a complimentary bring your own snack and bring your own beverage. Asterisk. attended to below. But wait! There's more! Around the corner lurks the Monster Truck Rally Review. From 1991 comes hair-raising up to four simultaneous player action Monster Truck racing game most of the world has never seen. Like and subscribe if you dare. And then he says, in parentheses at the bottom, BYO means bring your own. YouTube, Nest Friend, Polymedia Network and Associates, Nintendo of America, and all other affiliations are not responsible for the provision of food and or beverages to lazy viewers. Finn. So hats off to Maverick Longshark.
You did an amazing job reading all that. Let me just do a proper.
I am dizzy. I don't know how they do it.
You need to take a breath for a second. Remember when these announcers ended up like it almost like they sounded disinterested? I think they got like a new guy for these guys, like these where it stopped being so. I don't know what the word is. Like it stopped being so like arena like where it's like race fans, just like you just did, like race fans, hot rodders. And then it became, at least in Minnesota where I'm from, it became race fans, hot rodders, wheel screaming, metal crutching, welders. You know, it became like slow.
Yeah.
And I think they were just like leaning into that guy's voice for some reason.
You know what I think it is?
See Grave Digger.
I think for years that guy has done the voice of the strip club ads. And people were like, man, that guy's crushing it. The strip clubs get full of. We can't get anybody to come to Monster Truck. Like, what
the
if
ATMs are running out of money? What the hell?
Like, what if we got Jesus. What if we got the strip club guy to do like all of it? And it's listed the same guy, but he's just popped up on Quaaludes.
Race fans, hot riders. That's right, Bigfoot, Bigfoot. But yeah, I remember that was my memory because my childhood friend, when I was a kid, he went to all that stuff at the Metrodome, and I saw all these ads. But eventually, they started becoming like kind of like not depressing, but just like. It's almost like the guy didn't care. He was just like, are you ready for in your face, button mash and controller break and pits, break and piss pots and piss better. It was almost like he was like ready to just like go to sleep or something. I don't know. But no, you did the original like 80s version that I remember is what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like Rod Roddy on Price is Right, where it's just like, race fan! You know, just that
goes all out.
Ultimate,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, perfect.
Good showmanship.
Perfect job by you.
Yeah, well,
yeah, big showmanship. Excellent.
Yeah, hats off to Maverick _ Lone Shark for writing that script, essentially.
Excellent job.
Good stuff.
Yes, great stuff.
So yeah, I appreciate all my commenters. Usually they're pretty good. Occasionally, channel your size, you'll get some that are just, you know, like what are they even talking about? Or
I had somebody
shootings,
the other
essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. I had one guy the other day that just went off about the commercials. Like I had two commercials and then I clicked on your video and then I had two more commercials. It's like, that fella, that's out of my jurisdiction. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, man.
That's not my fault.
You're going to have to talk to the sheriff of county over, bud.
Cobb County, Georgia. You're going to have to talk to the big boss man about that. But That was it. That's a lot of the stuff I get is like stuff like that. It's like complaining about YouTube, not complaining about me.
Oh man, do you use YouTube Premium? Like, do you have like or ad blocker or whatever?
No, I have NFL Sunday Ticket. That's about as far as I go with YouTube. Yeah,
because I'm so used to not seeing a YouTube ad that when I'm with somebody and I see them, I'm like, holy shit, how do people deal with this? There's so many.
Oh, it gets incredibly annoying. We have Hulu without. We have like the original Hulu plan where we get commercials on that, and that's super annoying for sure. And Amazon Prime too, same thing. We get ads come up every once in a while, and it's just like, fucking really? Like, yeah. We really used to just like deal with this, but at the same time, it's fun. I've been watching a lot of like old. Believe it or not, Trav, I've been watching a lot of old football game broadcasts.
Yeah, you have. I get a video every couple days of...
Yeah, I DM you a video every once in a while where it's just like, listen to how Pat Summerall says the name Desmond Howard here. Desmond Howard! Flag on the plate! But yeah, it ends up being like the commercials end up leaking in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, the commercials were like less offensive back then for some reason. They were like slow and kind of calming in a weird way. They were just, I don't know. There was just something about them that were just not as intrusive, yeah, I guess.
I could see that.
Now it's just like, a sledgehammer to your face, like to try and get your attention. One way or another. I don't know. That's probably just me being old, even though I'm only 41, but 41 going on 81, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, man. Well, I tell you, I was shocked by the number of ads and just how painful they were to get through. But
do you get any of that on your channel by any chance? Like, no. What's the number one complaint you get?
I don't, you know, I get a lot of happy folks in there. I really don't get a lot of.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I know. I'm in that happy spot of being, you know, sort of secure by obscurity where I don't get a giant influx of drive-by, you know, folks. Usually it's people that comment regularly, thankfully. So I'm pretty lucky.
Well, not if Gumshoe is to be believed.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. And those people in there, they're popping in there like, I didn't know what... I thought Gumshoe was because he had gum on his shoe. I did get some of that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Then you can set them straight.
Yeah. I apparently reversed an age-old myth about gumshoes, which is incredible. Go me. But yeah, mostly pretty positive. But man, do you think that wraps up a good episode here? Felt good to have you back and introduced a new segment.
What if I said no? I don't. I want to talk about baseball. I want to talk about how the Twins have a real chance.
They have a real chance?
I think their starting pitching is good. I love their lineup with their. They have like four really good rookies, at least four, with Royce Lewis and Matt Wallner. I love Eddie Julian as a leadoff guy. I think their starting pitching is with Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray is excellent. I think they have a real chance, and they have a real closer with Duran, I should say. He's fantastic. I love the Twins' chances this year.
Well,
let's talk about that.
We could close out the show. All right, everyone, that's been been another Drunk Fred podcast. The Twins are going to do it. They're going to make it. They're going to go all the way.
Those? Unless they face the Yankees.
Yeah, or the Orioles, the Astros. Who's good? Who knows? But yeah, well, good luck. The White Sox eliminated from contention in February.
Thank you for mentioning that. I wasn't going to bring that up until you did.
Yeah, yeah. Eliminated from contention back in February.
Back in November of last year. Yeah.
Kill me. All right. Seriously, though, that has been another Drunk Friend podcast. Polymedianetwork.com. Head on over there. We got more shows. Believe it or not, we got more shows. And there's new episodes of, Polykill, Point Drink Adventure, Indie Quest, Uncle Doug's DVD Bin. We just wrapped up a season finale with True Lies. And you might find that I'm not the only one on this podcast that made an appearance on
now.
That podcast.
Get down. There's going to be a bomb in there. Get down.
Mm. And also, the return...
That was not the response I was expecting.
Mm. No, I
didn't. Just a slightly sexual...
You know why? Because I was like, man, I think that was the best Schwarzenegger he's ever done. And I didn't want... I just didn't know how to tell you that. I'm trying to close the show. I was like, damn, that's good.
Well, you express that clearly with your expression.
Nice.
You're like, damn.
Damn, that's good.
Damn, that's a good Arnold.
That was so good.
Even though it wasn't, it was just basically Conan's Arnold.
Still, it's pretty good.
That's funny.
New We Got Goosebumps coming soon.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So what book are you guys doing?
We just started in the second season. So for number 11, The Haunted Mask kicks it off.
Oh, right on. I don't remember that one exactly, but it's funny. When I hear your next episode, I see the cover art in my head.
Yeah.
And I remember owning it. So I look forward to like listening to kind of like remember the story at the very least. And then I stick around to laugh because you guys are hilarious.
I appreciate that.
You can send an email to the show at drunkfredpodcast@gmail.com. If you're not interested in sending an email, that's not a big deal. Just give us a rating and review on a podcast app of your choice. And that'll help us out big time.
Yeah, you can find us on social media sometimes. We do have a subreddit for the network.
I don't know what social media is anymore, honestly.
Yeah, seriously, I don't know either. You can find us Reddit r/polymedia. We've got Instagram, Polymedia Network. And then you can find me, Trav Plays Games, in most places, and Alex at SNES Drunk in most places. You have to figure out what the places are, though, because we don't even know that anymore.
Yeah. Seriously, just go nuts. The track you hear was composed by our friend Cooler and is called Electric Star Bounce. You can hear a link to more of his music on the Buzzsprout podcast page. And a shout out to Josh. I stopped in the middle of Josh because I Fumble. Knew I couldn't. Fumble! It's Ernest Biner fumbling at the goal line. Shout out to Josh Leslie for our Thirst Questioning logo. And be sure to quench these guys on YouTube.
What?
And thanks for listening.
What is that? What?
And I'm reading your part now.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Got rattled too much at the end. Freaking Josh Leslie's name, I swear to God.